Grace Point. Oh, my goodness. Brother Jenkins and his fellowship. And then Brother Sister Poincy, you know, they were here. They had a prayer tent out there on the square during the event there. And people they had under there, they were praying with people. And Brother Todd Bays there with the church there. And so Gospel Tabernacle. So God's doing something in our midst. And we've met, y'all have met Rhonda and Wayne now that put this event on. The Lord just led them to do that. And we invested in that, not just being there, but we put some money into it too to bless them, to help it. And then now we've got new friends that we will meet. Some of you have already met them. And Byron and Lisa Hamilton. And with 5G Reformation, and they have changed their name. It's a ministry instead of a church. They're not officially a church. What they will do is they want to minister and be an assistant to the churches, and God's called them to that. And so when they have an event, people come to the Lord, they're going to direct them into the churches that are already existing. So they're not taking away, they're adding to the body. And so the Lord has blessed them and given them gifts and talents for the body. And so they're stepping into that. And with the prophecies that have, we were reminded of the prophecies of many, many years ago, Steve Solomon, who came and held a revival in the late 90s. And so right here in Alvarado High School. And he said that Alvarado would be an epicenter for revival. And so we're seeing that come to pass. And that's, there's, God has those places of epicenters all over, places of fire. I remember when Matt, my son, oldest son, had that vision of little fire pockets all over the United States, all over the world, really. And of where God was doing things. He was moving. And so we're going to see that. We are in the last days, and so the Lord is getting his body ready. Amen. And I want to be a part of what he's got. Amen. I don't want to be left out. I want to be a part. And we want to be a part of 5G Reformation Ministries, Byron and Lisa. And they have once a month, they're going to have their venue there at the well, and it's a wonderful thing. They did not know, they found out that through going back and doing some research that Steve Solomon would do the Saturday nights at the well. And they had no clue. The Lord had given them this word to use, and powerful time. So once a month, it's the first Friday night of each month, they're going to do Friday nights at the well. So, and we, like I mentioned to some others, we may not be able to commit to every time they're meeting, but we want to be a part of what they're doing. And so, and we're going to have them come here. So it's going to be a sweet thing. God is still doing. We still have our relationship with Texas House of Prayer. So we're going to see all of that flourish. Amen. And God has some folks for this house. Amen. We're going to see some growth in that. Remember your church family, those who are not able to be here today. I know David and Nelda. Nelda's doing better. But if you get a chance, contact Brother David and just see when Sister Nelda is available. She's at the nursing home in Grandview for right now doing rehab. So maybe you could visit. She has said that desire for to have somebody to come and see her. And so just find out when they're not doing the rehab during the day. Maybe you can make your way down there and visit her. Bring her a card or some flowers or something. But I know that would mean a lot to them. And so I'm trying to stay in touch with David every other day or so and see how things are going. So that's a sweet thing. We want to remember our church family. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. All right, are we ready for the word? Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. We read this last week. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. All right, here's my second verse, or the second portion of Scripture, John 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, I want to continue in the vein that we were in last week with the subject of where do you dwell? Where do you dwell? Part 2. So let me begin with this question. What is the difference when there is two believers with the same Bible, same church, yet one walks in power and the other stays dry? Two people sitting in the same pew, hearing the same word, singing the same songs, and yet one of them leaves Sunday morning with an assurance, knowing who they are, having a renewed authority and a quietness that doesn't crack under pressure, a confidence that has nothing to do with their personality or circumstances at the moment. And the other one goes home to the same anxiety, the same unanswered prayers, the same dry spiritual life they had been living for years. And yes, the same doctrine, the same church membership, the same salvation experience, but one is full and one is empty. Listen, this is not a small difference. This is the difference between a life that demonstrates the kingdom of God and one that only talks about it. And the tragedy, the real tragedy, is that most believers never understand why a difference even exists. They assume the one saint has some special gift, some anointing that skipped them, some favor that they haven't earned. And they spend years trying to close that gap through more activity, more religious performance, more frantic effort, and they still stay dry. Yet what they don't realize is the difference between the believer who walks in power and the one who stays empty has nothing to do with talent. It has nothing to do with position. It has nothing to do even with effort. But it has everything to do, watch this, with one thing, and it's called the secret place. Not the concept of that. Not the religious duty version of that. Well, I better go there because the pastor's going to ask. No. And a big no. It's the living reality of genuine fellowship with the Father. Being alone with God in a secret place, gaining new power to run this race, as the old song, the old chorus goes. And sadly, most church-going folks who call themselves Christians have never actually been there to that secret place. Now, our scripture text from John chapter 15 and 7, it frames everything we're going to look at for the next few minutes. Jesus said it plainly, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And Cliff and Kim, we're glad you're here today. Amen. Notice with me, Jesus did not say if you attend church consistently. He did not say if you serve faithfully on a ministry team. If you're one of the greeters. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you abide in me, the power was never attached to activity. It was attached to abiding. It was attached to the secret place. And the word abide here in this verse is the Greek word meinao. And it carries a meaning far deeper than casual visiting. Meinao means to remain, to dwell, to take up permanent residence. It's a word used of a tenant who has settled in, who has made a home, and who has no intention of leaving. When Jesus said, abide in me, listen, he was not describing an occasional check-in with God. Oh, hi, God, I'm on the way to the store, and I thought I'd just check in with you. No, it's not a check-in. He was describing a continuous living union, a conscious living union, a way of being rather than something you do 15 minutes before you go to work. And yes, most believers do visit God. They come to him with a need. They present their case. And guess what? Sadly, they leave. They approach the secret place the way a person approaches a vending machine. Insert your prayer. Press the button. Wait for the answer. And when the answer doesn't come on demand, they conclude that God is withholding, or that they don't have enough faith, or that there's something fundamentally broken in their spiritual life. But the problem was never about the prayer list in the beginning. The problem was they never understood what the secret place actually is. Prayer is not a struggle to get God's attention. It is a visit with your Father. A visit, not a transaction, not a performance, a visit. The way a child walks into his or her father's house, they belong there. They don't need to work to earn their welcome there. The door is open. The prophet Isaiah saw something about the secret place. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 31, he declares it with unmistakable power. Listen to what it says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The English phrase, wait upon, fails to carry the full force of its Hebrew meaning. The word is kava, and it does not simply mean passive waiting. Kava means to bind together, to be entwined, to twist into a cord. It is a picture of a weak thread being bound together with a stronger one until the strength of the stronger one becomes the strength of them both. This is what the secret place does. This is what your solitude and your private devotion, time alone with the Father, that's what it does. It entwines you together. It does not simply give you information about God. It entwines you with Him. It binds your weaknesses to His strengths until His strength, guess what, becomes yours. The believer then who has learned to genuinely abide in the secret place is not operating on borrowed power. They've been woven together with the source himself. Father is our source. That is why he or she walks different. That is why their prayers carry weight. You have not done more religious activity. He or she has spent time being entwined with the living God. And the tragedy is that modern Christianity has largely reduced prayer to a discipline, something to a schedule, something to feel guilty about if you've neglected it, sometimes, or something to measure in minutes per day. And when you treat the secret place like a spiritual chore, you may go through the motions without ever actually arriving. Listen, you can spend an hour on your knees and never make contact. How sad is that? You can read 3 chapters of the Bible every day and not encounter a single word of life into your spirit. Why? Because information was never the point. Transformation was the point. Fellowship was the point. And actual fellowship requires, guess what? Your presence, not your performance. Your presence, not your performance. Are you with me this morning? In John 17 and verse 3, Jesus, while he was praying in the shadow of the cross, because it wouldn't be long, he defined eternal life in the most startling terms. He did not say eternal life is about going to heaven when you die. He didn't describe it that way. Here's what he said. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The word know there is the Greek genosko. It's not intellectual acknowledgement, but it's intimate experiential knowledge. Simply meaning the kind of knowledge that comes through being in a relationship, through spending time together, and through an encounter with Him. Jesus was saying that eternal life is not primarily a destination. But of course we know we will be there. But it is a quality of relationship with the Father, and the secret place is where the quality is built. We're talking about right now, here on earth. And this means that the believer who never enters a genuine fellowship then with the Father really is living beneath the very definition of the life that Jesus secured for him or her. Yes, he's technically saved. Yes, he's technically justified. Yes, he's technically an heir to all things, and yet empty of any experience. Empty of any true intimate encounters with their Heavenly Father. I, for one, don't want to live that way. Here's a word picture. He has the title deed to a mansion and lives in a tent because he's never learned to walk through the door. Ooh. I guess a tent is fine for some folks. But I want to go through those big doors. Amen. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Amen. Most of the church world knows about God. They know his attributes. They can recite his names. Oh, they can discuss his nature. But the secret place is where you move from knowing about him to knowing him intimately. And that transition is where the power is actually born. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It carries a truth that ought to set us as true believers, that ought to set us on fire. Here is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed by beholding, not by striving, not by willpower, not by our religious discipline. You and I are changed by beholding, by turning our gaze on Him in the secret place, in our personal prayer closet, and allowing the Spirit of God to do the work of transformation from the inside out. He don't begin on the outside. He starts in the heart. Amen. He's not worried about what you're wearing. Just make sure it covers everything. Amen. Picture with me a simple piece of iron that's lying out there in the cold darkness. And it's hard and it's unyielding and it can scratch the surface of things, but it cannot penetrate very deeply and it cannot be shaped the way it is. Now, you bring that piece of iron close to an intense source of heat and you hold it there. Not for a moment, not for a quick visit. You hold it there consistently, deliberately, and intimately. And watch what happens. The iron begins to change. The rigidness begins to soften. The cold hardness begins to yield to the fire. Yield to the fire. And after enough time in the presence of that heat, guess what? The iron becomes responsive. It becomes capable of being shaped into something altogether different from what it was. That is what the secret place does to the believer over time. Would you look at someone and say, I want to yield to the fire. I want to yield to the fire. You do not walk out of genuine fellowship with the Father the same way you walked in. The fire of His presence changes you. It forges something new in you and different at the molecular level of your spirit. I'm going slow, but I want you to hear this. And here's what changes. His quietness becomes your quietness. His strength becomes your strength. His perspective begins to replace that old anxiety and worry. His authority begins to replace your timidity and your shyness and your lack of self-assurance. Not because you tried harder, but because you stayed longer. Amen? Because beholding produced transformation. Yes. I want to stay there and just gaze on Him. Amen. 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 Now, since it's Father's Day, let's just use the Father in this word picture as an example. We have two fathers. Here's a difference between a father who, before leaving for his day, has visited the Master that morning and one who has not. The one who had been in the secret place carried something out the door with him that was so intense and it was so obvious.